Alison, Real 12. Have you any other memories of fighting in this area, the Vietri defile?
No, I think we've covered that. We were there for 2 or 3 days on this defile, as you say, but the 7th Armour got through onto Naples and so on, and we then boarded trucks and we moved off to Qualino, I think they call the place, and a few days later on to Villa Laterno.
You're moving up now towards the Volturno?
Towards the Volturno.
What are your memories of what was happening now?
As I remember, someone told us that the Americans had been trying to drop bombs down Vesuvius to make it erupt, which was stupid. But anyway, it was supposed to be. And of course it erupted later on, but it didn't erupt at that time. Now we skirted round D Company, as I remember, Naples. We didn't see much of Naples at that point. And we went round along by Pompey and what they call, I think it's Rovigo as they call the other place. It's a place beside Pompey. Anyway, we went along there and we ended up at this Qualino, and we're now being transported in the Bren carriers. I remember a bit of a rough ride, you know, about 10 of us in a Bren carrier, and we went to Villa Laterno, where we came under shell fire quite a lot there, and the funny incident. We're sort of in houses along the main street, and the cook was in the backyard, and he got a bit of shrapnel, and a bit of a laugh, you know. And used to criticise the cooks because they were all back at the echelon sort of thing all the time, and come up when everything was quiet, and he's thinking been shot, you know, this cook, he brings such a song and a dance. He only had a little bit of a nick, a bit of shrapnel had caught his hand or something. And, anyway, we were at Villa Laterno there, and sort of patrolling round the streets and whatnot. You might have said it was a bit of a rest period, I don't know, but it was essential, I suppose. And I remember meeting Colonel Preston in the street as we were walking along, you know, and he used to come along with his walking stick, and he had a chat with us, you know. He didn't, you know, we saluted him, and he came and had a few words and so on, you know. He didn't just walk past us and blah blah, which I thought was very good.
Do you recall what he said?
I don't actually recall, you know, how were we doing and how we were we getting our mail or something. It's just the general patter that they come out with, where you're getting your mail from home, etc., and how were you doing, you know, blah blah.
Were the Italian civilians about?
Very, very few that vanished from that place. I don't know where they were. And we were in this house, fully furnished. It wasn't an elaborate house. It was like a street of houses, you know. And we were in there. And we went from there in to do an action, and we came back there, which was wrong, because we'd lost so many men in this action, which I'll tell you about just now. And we came back, and he got in the room. There's just about half a dozen of you instead of a dozen or more, you know. And it hit you then. Who had gone and what, you know. Anyway, that was one of the bad things. It should never have brought us back to the same area. But we were there for 2 or 3 days before we set off to reconnoitre pre-Volturno. We were taken up by Bren carriers up to a bridge which the engineers were building over the canal. I think it was called the Mussolini Canal. And we went over in boats, you know, had these long flat bottom boats.
And were the enemy on the other side?
The enemy were away beyond, presumably, should have been away a long way, because the engineers were there building a bridge. And we got to the other side.
This is the canal we're talking about.
The canal. We got the canal. We got Villa Laterno, We got over the canal, and engineers are building this bridge at the side of us, and we're straddled across the road, and in the duskness, I observed a couple of jerrys run across the road carrying a machine gun, and I told the corporal, passed word back, and he just ignored it. He didn't want to know. Didn't know what we're talking about, you know, blind, et cetera. Waiting at him giving some instruction. We were going forward. There'll be no juries there. They're building a bridge behind and all this. But anyway, whether they'd had false information previously, I don't know. But we were going forward to take up positions near the Volturno. And the jury started firing on us, didn't he? And we had to scarper back to the canal. And we lost quite a lot of blokes there. And Jerry came down, he was firing on them in the canal. They were trying to get over the canal. Captain Whitehead, our second in command, was killed there. He was trying to rescue blokes in the canal. The engineers lost people. I think it was Corporal Lewenden there. Or it was Sykes, and maybe both of them were at the parapet of the bridge and lobbing grenades back onto the top. Killed quite a lot of Germans and saved the day. We were, to get under cover, we were stood in the canal, you know, up to the chest in water. And this Sergeant Ferrell was there, and he had been mortally wounded, as it were. And as things quietened down, we got out the canal and got on the bank, and I was told later that he had about 22 bullets in him, you know, he'd taken a full flak. But, and he died subsequently on the next day. But that was horrendous on the top of there, and we had no chance of doing anything. It could have been, I reported all this later, you know, there was a bit of an inquiry and as to what had happened. And,
so was that based on the fact that they wanted to know why the Germans hadn't been spotted beforehand?
We were surprised, and word got back that I had told, passed word to the corporal.
Who was the corporal?
I can't even say him. He came from Leeds, Darkie they used to call him, and he was a miserable bloke. He was always moaning on our corporal at that stage. I'm not sure what his name was. I won't mention it because I might get the wrong man, and I don't want to do that. A name is in my head, but I can't just place it. I can see him. And he wasn't killed, you know. But it was his fault that night. There's no doubt in my mind, whatever, which we told the officer, you know, there was a bit of an inquiry. And
was it not usual to push somebody ahead?
Well, we were more or less the ones ahead. We were the front, as it were. You know, the road was off the bridge, and the canal was away up there. Eventually, went down towards the sea, I think. And from that, there was another canal went off. Further on, I believe there must have been a bridge. A big flat area, really flat area, and I saw these couple of blokes run over with a. Carrying a gun, you know, which would be a bigger one than ours, you know, machine gun. And you wouldn't believe it. They just set it up and start firing down the road at us. They possibly were coming there to fire at the engineers, and we came in upon them at the time. And,
were they supported, the two machine guns? Were the troops around?
Oh, yes, there was quite a lot. There was a whole lot come down, and I don't know, again, there was quite a lot of Germans on the parapet of the bridge around that area, dead, loads, because the corporal was lobbing grenades up under the top of the bank. Now, we got off eventually. They got us back over the canal. It's a fairly wideish canal. They got us over. Some of them just went off. I don't know how many. I think it was about 30 or something killed there, if I remember right. There's quite a number killed in that area. And we went over to the canal back side of again, and we had to dig in there, and they brought rum ration up. That's the first rum ration we'd ever had. And we were there all day, deciding what they were going to do. Other troops came up and relieved us and went through the canal, and they got the engineers back, because we were then later that night taken back to Villa Laterno into our previous billets, and had food for us and all this lot, you know. And we stayed there another couple of days or so before we moved off, moving back over that bridge in that area up to towards the Volturno.
And this is where you realise you'd lost so many?
This is where we realised, when we got back to the room, you know, and you went in and we said, well, where's so-and-so, and where's so-and-so, and they were all gone.
Is that low air spirits?
Oh, I did, yes. Everybody was, and everybody said, well, we should never have come back here to the same spot. I mean, we'd had blokes killed before, and you didn't feel it the way that was, you know. It was just a complete fiasco, the whole lot.
Do you look to apportion blame to anyone when you get in situations like that?
Well, I still to this day blame that couple, and wish that we had taken upon ourselves, which we were so disciplined, we daresn't. But what we should have done was fired our gun along the road, and we might have saved the day. Might have, you know. I mean, that's all you can say. At least we would have got the first shots in. Having seen them, you know, well, we didn't, you know.
You were ordered, I presume, not to fire.
He ordered, no, he said, there's nobody up there. And I said, there is. And Jack said, yes, we've seen a couple of blokes run across the road carrying a gun. And he wouldn't have it. He was back there, like, you know, near the canal. Now, dashing back to the canal, they were lobbing these little, they had little grenades, you know, like plastic ones. And there I got quite a few shrapnel wounds, actually. I got some on my wrist, which you can't see, on my doings, my arm. I've still got a piece in my arm, actually. It's there, they wouldn't take it out, only a small bit in the muscle. But that all happened, you didn't know it happened, you know. This flash at the side of you, and more or less a stun grenade, as it were, you know. And but the other lads were getting bullets in them, unfortunately I didn't.
Were you stopping to pick up the wounded, or just running?
No, we got back to get down to the canal and get some protection, because it was flat, completely flat, whole area, you know, like a playing field. Nothing there to hide at all, so the thing was, get back to the canal and take a position on the canal, you know.
Where was your officer? I'm thinking of the platoon officer whilst this was going on.
Well, he was sort of coming over. We had gone over in front. And I don't know where Whitehead was behind us, and as we all got back, he was the second in command of the company. He was trying to get people out of the water, I understand, and I mean, the jerry was up on the top firing down onto him, and he was killed. And I understand they found his body down near the sea, you know, floating down the canal, which was quite loud. And I believe somebody was saying there was about 30 dead on that.
Was Elliot?
And he was there, but he was at the back somewhere, you know. They weren't right up at the front with us, you know. We'd gone forward, a forward platoon, section, as it were, you know, and the rest of the platoon was coming over. He would be organising them getting over the canal. And
do you recall those closest to you that you lost there, you know, in your section?
Yes, I did. I think I marked some of them in just a minute. No, I just can't remember offhand names. There's so many names that, you know, and you might get to mix it with the different battles. But I think one was Davies, if I remember right. And we had another chap there used to sing, and he died. He sat on the side of the road trying to take his boot off, I understand, and they came and bumped him off, you know. Totally unnecessary, but there you are. But other than that, I can't remember the names, but there was quite a lot of the company killed there.
In the inquiry that you said followed, were you called to, in effect, to give evidence?
It wasn't like a court-martial. It got, when we were down at the village, the officer came and he said, I understand there was a little bit of a you know, back at the bridge. And I said, oh, yes, yes. And it was just a sort of a talk. And it was, I don't know, I don't think anything happened about it, to be quite honest.
The corporal stayed.
And corporal stayed, yes. I can't remember him much after that, to be quite honest. I don't remember him crossing the Volturno with us. I'll have to ask my colleague what happened with him. It's one of the, your memory goes, you know.
Have any other memories of this particular event?
No, you know, just the first time we'd had rum ration, and it was, the tea was made with rum. And we were really glad of it. And
was this to calm you down, or was it cold?
I think it was to calm us down, and it wasn't all that cold, really. But, I mean, a lot of us were wet. We'd been in the canal one way that I'd been in the canal up to the waist. Most of us had, those that had got back, because there wasn't enough cover from just behind the embankment, you know, the water was pretty high up, so the best thing to do was get in. There was reeds there, some reeds along the side, I remember, and we were in there, must have been in, maybe seemed an age, maybe it was half an hour or something,
until the attack was
knocking down with the corporal throwing the grenades up, and I think it was Lewenden that was doing that. Sykes was there and all, but there were two good blokes. And
they were promoted, I think, at one point.
Promoted from there, yes. They went up to sergeant, yes. In fact, I think one of them, well, I'm not sure if both of them got medals later on.
What is the army rum like? Is it strong stuff?
Well, very strong, yes. I maybe the first time I'd tasted rum in my life, to be honest. Dixies of it, you know, they brought them up with the carriers, and I don't know why they, well, they wouldn't have any troops in the area, I don't know, I was going to say, I don't know why they didn't come up and relieve us, but there was nobody else there, you know, they were all deployed somewhere else, and it was a question of waiting till they rearranged things before they took us out. I mean, you would have thought under the circumstances they would have got us out straight away, but they didn't. We were there till late evening.
Did the rum make you drunk or happy? Or
oh, we were drunk and happy, yes, yeah, very strong, yeah. We said that the tea was made with rum, you know, boiled rum. Oh, it was very good, yes. And there was plenty, you know, I mean, I think there was some left there. At the end of the period, it had enough, like, but there was still some left in the Dixies. And they brought food up as well, you know, cooked food there.
You got a hot meal?
Got a hot meal, yes. They got the chef off his backside and he was up. He'd forgot about his little wound that I was telling you about earlier on. And as I say, we went back to Villa Laterno and...
What happened next?
We were there maybe 2 or 3 days, I think, and then we were pushed into the carriers again, and we went back over the ground we'd come back from, over the canal and up to the area ready for crossing the Volturno, which the boot is wrong, it says the 12th of October, I can assure you it was the 11th of October, because it was my 20th birthday, and we got up to the area for the river, and we had this great big crater, I don't know what it made it, but there was loads of craters in that area, and we were right down inside the crater, and it was about midnight, and I said to my colleague, you know what it is now, you know, I said, I'm 20, we didn't have anything to celebrate with, you know. So over the midnight, we got the boats to go over the canal, you know.
And this, is, I think, is described again as a silent crossing. You weren't
supposed to be silent crossing, yes. Now, over on the German side, some troops had gone over, actually, in front of us. I don't know, to the left or the right of us. But they start firing the Sobbing Sisters, as we call them. I think there was 8 or 12 barrels on a multi-orchestrated, made a terrible noise.
Minnenwerfer.
We used to call it the Sobbing Sisters, I think, for some reason. Anyway, we got on the boat eventually to go over, and the one in front of us, that had a, somebody had been over and put a rope, you know, that he was supposed to keep a hold of to get over. And there was machine guns firing over the top of us because there were fixed lines from the other side.
That's from the German side.
From the German side, and they were firing over the, you know, we just had to keep out clear of them. And they just kept pulling the wires, whatever, to fire them. There was no Germans there, they were away back somewhere. But we didn't know that at this point. It was just
there
all this machine.
The wires were wired up.
The triggers were wired up, you know, which is one of their tricks, you know, pulling them from way back. One of the boats, they let the rope go, and they went away down the river and landed, and some of them scarpered, which I was involved with later. They wanted to know what had happened, you know. Because they were caught and brought back, and all the Leicesters and the Foresters and going to their lines and wouldn't know where they were going, two or three of them.
We'll come to that at the right time.
Yes.
That's interesting to know.
They were caught martialed up.
How many of these were inflatable boats, were they?
No, they were like a flat wood bottom with a canvas side and a wood round the top, and they sort of put slats up to make it a...
How many would each boat hold?
I think about 10, and this other boat had got too many in. And rather than get them out, they wanted them over the river. You know, that's how they cock up come. It was too heavy and the river was flowing fast. That's why they had the ropes over. And it's supposed to keep a hold of them. Well, you mean, imagine the boats going away and...
You're trying to pull yourself back,
and I could see why they'd gone away, but that didn't entitle them to scarper. Some of them came back up the river to get the next boat, but these ones, oh, we've had enough, and they went off. And, we eventually got to the other side, and the machine guns are still firing at our left, as it were. We got up the bank and crawled along past the hedge. By now they were chucking mortars and all sorts at us at that end, you know. It was very precarious. And we crawled up a dike to the middle of the field, as you might say, and that's where we stopped for a while. There was a sunken road in front of us, I remember. And this was an irrigation ditch we were in along the side leading to it. Part of the irrigation, I think, of the plains, you know, and
were you lying in water?
No, it was dry. We're along the top of the bank. We're in an open position, as I remember, you know, hills away in the distance. But some of the platoon were up on the ridge of the sunken road, where Jerry put a counter-attack in one time. But we sort of, not reserved, but just behind the front line, as you might say, at that stage. I remember one of the officers, there was a pillbox away over to the right side, and he was got hold of a Bren gun officer, and he was trying to fire single shots at this pillbox. Eventually, they sent a platoon along, a section along, and... got a grenade in and blew the pillbox up like. And at that stage as well, there was a counterattack came over middle of the day, and the lads that were there behind the ridge jumped up, and this lad, Isaac Todd, they call him, a colleague of mine, he'd been in all these actions. He jumped up and he had light machine gun, the Tommy gun. He had a Tommy gun and it stuck. And Jerry shot him down on the ground. And we saw that, you know. Of course, needless to say that Jerry was shot because the others saw what had happened and bang, but too late. Isaac was killed. Along Birtley, just along the road. Yes, very sad that day. And I was given his Tommy gun. And you know where it went? It's in the vault at home.
Straight away.
Yes, it was passed to me for some reason. Yeah, you have that, Ellison. I said, oh, yes, right. And had a look at it, and I don't know, there was something wrong with it. And I said, right, I'm not, having seen that, there's no way I'm going to put myself in a situation like, and went back into the river. So they might come on to me for that.
You crossed the river without loss, in effect?
We didn't have any loss there, no. It was, we were very fortunate. The only loss, as I say, was these lot that were drifted down the river.
Was there enemy shelling or mortaring the river as you came?
There was, as I say, that mortar was going, doing that was, must have been further back in the field at that stage, and he kept on all night, that thing. He kept going from different positions, you know. Must have been on a tied to a van or a car or something, and they were shifting it about. The noise of that was terrible, horrendous. I think there was eight barrels.
Was this the first time you'd met it? The
first time we'd met that damn thing, yes. So it must have been a new innovation at that period. I don't remember it before that. We'd had other mortars, you know, the old standpipe type. That's what we had at Salerno, but I don't remember the Sovereign Sisters before that.
Was it a frightening weapon to hear it and know that they were hurtling towards
it? It was, you know, something like the Stukas, the aeroplanes, they made a heck of a noise and frightened people, sent some people out of their minds, capitally, the noise coming out. These had a scream the same way. I don't know if they were really accurate, but I mean, they were effective. They were scattered all around you, you know, that's it. And I mean, they would bang, bang, bang all around about the place. I don't think they could put them, you know, direct onto a target like they could with a single mortar, but they were nasty.
What other weapons did the enemy have which you respected or feared?
The 88 gun, that was a pretty accurate one, the 88, you know. I'm thinking of the Schmeisser that the German had. That was a very good gun, that one, the Schmeisser. And they had those stun grenades, the Tatey Mashers, they were pretty accurate, you know, a long wooden stick, and they could direct them into any situation, as it were, pretty accurate.
Did you feel that they were, from a weapons point of view, they were better on the whole?
I don't think we give a lot of credence to that sort of, you know, that side of it, but you had to respect them, you know, they had some nice weapons, accurate. I think, by and large, I think ours was as equal to theirs, you know.
The land on the, or the terrain on both sides of the river and the canals you mentioned would be pretty flat, was it?
Flat. It was a flat area, yes. Somewhere south of that area, we were in an area in an odd house or two, you know. It was the old Mussolini idea. The family had a bit of land and a house, you know, and we spent two or three days in places like that. I just don't remember. It was leading up to this period where we are now.
That was on the way into the Volturno.
Leading up towards that, yes.